Today on Hardwired.
I love this definition. Revival consists of a powerful intensification by Jesus of the Holy Spirit's normal activity. I like that. What is revival? It is when the normal activity of the Holy Spirit is intensified. Because revival is all the work of the Holy Ghost.
Welcome to Hardwired with Pastor Jeff Wickwire. Whether you find yourself in a good place, maybe in a difficult place, or possibly even in a very lonely place, let me encourage you that you've come to the right place. Now, if you're not able to stick around with us for all of today's program, you can always listen to it at our website, hardwired.org. You may have been listening to the program for a while, or possibly just tuned in. Well, I want you to know that we do this for you. With a world that is searching and coming up empty, it's nice to know you can land on this message of hope and truth, something we all need to hear. So let's jump right in with today's program. Here's Pastor Jeff to tell us what's coming up in today's edition of Hardwired.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to this edition of Hardwired. Thank you so much for joining us. You know, we hear all the time about revival. Everybody wants revival or are in revival or talk about some great revival of yesteryear. But what does genuine revival look like? And more importantly, how do you prepare for real revival? What typically precedes genuine revival? What did God's people do in the past that set the stage for a genuine visitation from God? Well, we're going to answer some of these questions in today's message, How to Prepare for Revival. So let's get started.
I do believe revival cometh, but it's got to begin here. Now, I do want to talk to you today about how to prepare for revival. How do you prepare your heart for revival? Now, many of us, I've already said, are ending a fast today. Our prayer goal, the reason we did it, was that God would send revival. And we prayed according to what Isaiah gave us in chapter 58 of the book of Isaiah, where he's talking about the fast that God honors and that he chooses, that he honors and that he blesses. And he said, here's the fast that I bless because this is what I want to do. Loose the bonds of wickedness. Undo the heavy burden. Let the oppressed go free. And that you break every yoke of bondage. God said, that's my heart for people. Now, catch what God sees when God looks out at the human race. Here's what he sees. He sees bound up people. He sees burdened people. He sees oppressed people. And he sees broken, enslaved people. And he says, my heart is to set them free, to minister to them, to touch them, to reveal my salvation to them. What an awesome promise that we have been called to be co-laborers with God, to destroy bondages, to undo burdens, to let oppressed people go free and break the yoke of slavery to sin. And this is why we fast and pray. This is why we fast and pray. You know, Jesus said, he whom the Son frees is free indeed. And he said, you will know the truth and the truth will make you free. He's not talking about being in a jail cell out here. He's talking about the prison that is within people until the Son of God sets us free. We are all imprisoned in the jail of sin. And Jesus came to set us free. Not only that, but to take the depression off of us, the burden off of us, and give us peace and joy. Now, we have prayed this week for God's maximum blessing on our church. And that His Spirit will be poured out on our nation. And I believe the only hope left for America, honestly, is a move of God. But oh, listen, if we'll pray, God will move. Now, whether you're fasting or not, there is still a pathway to revival that He lays out for us. That is the prophet Hosea that we're going to look at today. The pathway to personal revival, because real revival begins with you and me. So how do you and I experience personal revival? Now, let me just take you back to last week real quickly and remind you of what real revival is. What does it mean when we say revival? I love this definition. Revival consists of a powerful intensification by Jesus of the Holy Spirit's normal activity. Oh, I like that. What is revival? It is when the normal activity of the Holy Spirit is intensified. Because revival is all the work of the Holy Ghost. I stand before you today as a preacher, not because I decided to go into this career, but because of the power of the Holy Ghost in my life. Without the Holy Ghost, we'd be done for. But thank God that greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world, and He that is in us is the Holy Spirit. Now, revival is an intensification of the normal activity of the Holy Spirit. What is the normal activity of the Holy Spirit? Well, first, He is a convictor of sin. Jesus tells us in John 16 what the normal activity of the Holy Spirit would be. Because right now the Holy Spirit's moving in this room. He's moving all over Texas and all over the United States, and He's moving all over the world. And what is He doing as He moves? Jesus said first He is convicting of sin. John 16 verse 8 said when He comes, that is the Holy Spirit, He will convict the world of its sin and of God's righteousness and of the coming judgment. He will tell people, you have sin in your life, and you need to get that sin under the blood of Jesus. It needs to be dealt with. It needs to be forgiven. And if you don't do it, there is a judgment coming. That's the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Some of you today have some sin in your life, and some of you listening by radio and watching by video have some sin in your life. And I'm not talking about conviction being guilt. Guilt, the Bible says, kills you. But conviction leads you to repentance. There is guilt that kills, and there is conviction that leads to repentance. And the Holy Spirit brings conviction where you all of a sudden go, wow, I know I'm in sin. I have sin in my life. I'm breaking God's laws. I need to bring these sins to Christ and let Him forgive me. And that's all the work of the Holy Spirit. We would never know. I would have never known that I was in sin, but for the ministry of the Holy Spirit. He shines His light on us. It's like a bright light all of a sudden comes on, and we see all the mice and all the cobwebs and all the spiders and all the junk in the rooms of our soul. And we say, Jesus, forgive me. That's the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Second, He's not only a convictor of sin, but He's a communicator of truth. Right now, most of you are able to fully understand me because the Holy Spirit is communicating truth to you because I'm ministering the Word of truth, His Bible. Jesus said when the Spirit of truth comes, He called Him the Spirit of truth. He will guide you into all truth. He will not speak of His own, but He will tell you what He has heard, and He will tell you what is coming in the future. He's a communicator, an illuminator, a giver, a teacher of truth. So when revival comes, what you see is an intensification of conviction and an intensification of the communication of God to you and I on His truth. I will never forget when I came to the Lord and got filled with the Holy Spirit, how suddenly this word just came alive to me. What did that? Because all of a sudden the teacher, the great teacher, the Holy Ghost, came to live inside of me, and He began to make that word. I remember turning to the book of Romans. I'll never forget it. I didn't even know what Romans meant. I didn't know that it was talking about a city where Paul had visited. I didn't know what it meant. I just knew that when I opened it up and began to read those words, they jumped out at me. Why? Because the teacher, the communicator, the illuminator was living in my heart now, and that intensifies in revival. And then third, He is a glorifier of Jesus. He's a convictor of sin, a communicator of truth, and a glorifier of Jesus. Jesus said in John 16, verse 14 to 15, He will bring me glory by telling you whatever He receives from me. All that belongs to the Father is mine. This is why I said the Spirit will tell you whatever He receives from me, He will glorify me. In revival, the Holy Ghost begins to move with greater intensity. And He never points at a man. He never glorifies a man. He never lifts up a man. All focus turns to Jesus. He is Jesus' cheerleader. And He says, look at Him and be saved. And be healed. And be delivered. That's what He does. When the ministry of the Holy Spirit intensifies, these three activities of the Holy Spirit increase as well. convictor of sin, communicator of truth, glorifier of Jesus, magnifier of the Lord. The Holy Spirit has one message for people in our generation. Turn to Jesus. Look to Jesus. He's your Savior. He's your healer. He's your deliverer. He's your answer. You will find yourself at the foot of the cross. You will find your identity in Him, your meaning in Him, your purpose in Him, your life in Him, your joy in Him, your peace in Him, your heaven in Him, your salvation in Him. In real revival, people come under conviction of sin in much larger than normal numbers. I've been privileged to be in one national revival, the Jesus Move of the 1970s. Never forget it. People everywhere began to repent, began to turn to the Lord. People walking down the street would come under conviction of sin. Because we're talking about in revival, the Holy Spirit descends in power. You remember reading in Pentecost where He fell like fire on the heads of each of the disciples, the 120 that had been waiting and praying in that upper room? And the Holy Spirit was a tangible presence. He fell in great power. He fell like a cascading waterfall. He moved like a tsunami wave of glory. He moved a very real presence. When the Holy Spirit falls, the whole community becomes aware of Christ. The realization of who Jesus is and the glorification of Him through worship and witnessing will intensify, increase, magnify, happen much more than normal in real revival. And good news, not one church, no one church can contain within its four walls a true revival. Any more than a hurricane can be limited to affecting only one house when it blows through a neighborhood. When the Holy Spirit falls on a place, you can't control Him, you can't harness Him, you can't put Him in a box. You can't tell Him where to go or not to go. He falls and He begins to move. And Jesus said He's like a wind and He blows, and all of a sudden hearts are touched and they don't know how, they don't know from where, they can't understand why. But people you never thought would be saved are suddenly under conviction and they become saved. They turn to Christ. I mean, people that shock you, people you can't believe, they are suddenly convicted. What did it? A wind blew through the city. The great wind of the mighty Holy Ghost of the living God. And that's how it happens. I've seen it. It's a community-wide experience. And let me ask you a question. Does Fort Worth not need this? Does Arlington not need this? Does Johnson County not need this? Let me ask you another question. Does America not need this? Oh, yeah.
Before Pastor Jeff comes back to wrap things up for us today, I'd like to share a couple of important things with you. Let me encourage you to take a minute and check out our website, hardwired.org. You'll find today's program, along with all of Pastor Jeff's messages. There's a growing list of great things to check out at the site. So hop on over and check it out, hardwired.org. That's hardwired.org. And be sure to tell your friends about the program. We know you're being blessed by it. I'm sure your friends will be as well. We're here to reach as many people for the Lord as we can. So getting the word out will help us on this mission. And that's what this program is all about. And Pastor Jeff's back now for the conclusion of today's program.
Revival is also preceded by an expectation that God is about to do something exceptional. The people of God become pregnant with expectation. If you could see me in the Spirit, I'd be walking like this. I'm pregnant. I got expectation. You ought to come waddling into church. You're so great with vision. Here's what happens. There's also an extraordinary unity and prayerfulness among Christians when there is about to be a revival. Intense prayer increases, and intense prayer precedes all true revivals. In other words, genuine revival is unmistakable, unforgettable, and unusual. There's no denying it when it happens. I was telling the first service, I was reading about one of my heroes in the faith, the great Charles Spurgeon from the 1800s. Greatest pastoral preacher to ever live. When he was 21 years old, he was preaching in a little country church. Magnificent, unprecedented gifting to just stand up and declare the Word of God and preach the Scriptures. Just unbelievable. But at 21 years old, he'd been preaching in a little country church, and he got called to London, which was the metropolitan city of the world in that day. And as soon as he stepped into the pulpit, something began to happen. And revival swept London. Before long, they were building a 5,000-seat church called the Metropolitan Tabernacle. When there was no auditory aids, there was no speakers, no microphones, no nothing. They built it with acoustics that were unbelievable. And this man would stand up and just preach the word. But somebody said to him, "Charles, how has this happened?" He said, "I've got a secret." They thought he was going to say, "You know, I'm really brilliant. I've got a great way with words," or, "I've just studied the Scriptures a lot." He said, "No, my secret is right beneath my feet." Because downstairs in the basement, right beneath my feet, every time I preach, there are a group of people praying and crying out to God. And so while I'm preaching the word to thousands, they're down there saying, "God, touch them. God, move on them. God, bless them. God, save them. God, move in this house today." And so he said, "I call it my oven. And I can do that, and they can hear me, and they can hit the ceiling, and I can hear them. But while they pray, I preach." Amen. Well, that's because prayer brings revival. Intense prayer increases and precedes all true revivals. Now, Hosea the prophet lays out a blueprint for how to have true revival. And it's amazing when you read about Hosea, because he was sent to the backslidden people of God, the covenant people of Abraham, the Jewish people who had terribly walked away from God. That's all they ever did. Repent, return, walk away, repent, return, walk away. Now Hosea is God's choice, and he was seeking to draw his people back to him through Hosea's ministry. And he tells Hosea to tell them, "What I really want to do is I want to rain righteousness on you." Now the word rain in the Bible is often symbolic of revival. Revival. It's about to rain. It's beginning to rain. When the Holy Spirit begins to move, it's like rain. It's refreshing. It's powerful. And so the three steps that he lays out for us that we're about to look at are in perfect harmony. I couldn't believe this, but it hit me. Perfect harmony with the vision of Turning Point Church. Our vision is in reach, building Christ in every person. Outreach, reaching every person for Christ. And upreach, leading every person to worship Christ in spirit and in truth. Everything we do has to do with either inreach, outreach, or upreach. And I realize that Hosea's prophecy, there are three steps, and they are first inward, then outward, and finally upward. There is an inward exhortation, an outward exhortation, and an upward. Now here's the first one. He says, first, break up your fallow ground. Fallow means uncultivated. It is a picture of hard ground covered with thorns and rocks. Hosea is speaking of the heart of people. You remember in Jesus' parable of Matthew 13 where he talked about the different soils that the Word of God goes into. The thorny ground, the hard soil, the rocky soil, and then the good soil. And so here Hosea is echoing that thought that our hearts can be like hard, uncultivated, thorny, rocky, hard to plow ground. Hard for God to move on. All kinds of obstacles in our heart in the way of God moving. So the first step towards revival is always inward. It always begins with you and me. It begins with us. True revival begins in the hearts of believers. Because if it doesn't begin with us, who will it begin with? Who else is going to look out at the world and say they're perishing? What are we going to do? Who else is going to care with the care of God but the church? So any revival has got to start right here. And I want to tell you, it's beginning to rain. Commentator Matthew Henry writes, "Let us cleanse our hearts from all corrupt affections and lusts, which are as weeds and thorns. And let us be of a broken and a contrite spirit." Get the thorns out. Get the weeds out. Get the corrupt affections. Get those things that your heart has locked onto that are not of God, and bring it to the Lord and say, "Lord, break this off of my life." The heart is like a little puppy looking for someone to love it. And you got to be careful what you let it walk up to and get attached to. Because it will attach. And every heart in here is attached to something today. Some primary thing possesses every heart here today. Something dominates everybody's day. Because something has everybody's heart. That's why the Bible says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it flow the issues of life. Watch over it more than you would a safe in your house with $1 million of jewelry in it. Because out of it flow the issues of life. How do we break up the fallow ground of our heart? How do we prepare for revival in our own lives? How do we do this? Well, one, you got to allow the Word and the Spirit to search your heart and point out areas of uncleanness and disobedience. Listen to what David said. King David prayed in Psalms 139, verse 23, search me, O God, and know my heart. You know what he's doing here? He's giving God permission to mess with his stuff. You know what I found out? The closer I get to God, the more he messes with my stuff. The closer I get to God, the more he messes with my thoughts, the more he messes with my relationships, the more he messes with my money, the more he messes with my morality. The closer I get to God, the more I find out he messes with my stuff. But folks, if he messes with your stuff, it's so that he can fix your stuff. That's why he does it. That's why a lot of people won't come to a church that reads the Word of God and preaches it. There's churches you can go to, you don't ever have to worry about being convicted. Because you're never going to hear the Word of God. But then you're never going to be changed. The Word of the Lord changes us, and we need to get it right. David says, he goes on to say, test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you, and lead me along the path of everlasting life. Wow, he's giving carte blanche permission to God to mess with any of the stuff in his life that God needed to speak to. That's powerful. Point out anything in me that offends you, Lord, and lead me along the path of everlasting life. Now watch me. This Bible is a mirror. It's a morning mirror. How many of you have been shocked lately looking at yourself in the morning? How many of you realize you're aging? Have you lately gotten up and just gone in there without thinking and looked, oh, it's you. Where'd that come from? I didn't notice that last week. That's because you're all aging. You know what? You're not the same person who was here last week. You've aged a little bit. Now, the Bible says that when we open up, everybody hold up your Bible. Hold up your Bible. Now, what you have there is a mirror. And the Bible says in the book of James that when you open it up and you look into it, you're looking into a mirror that shows you the person of Jesus Christ. And when it shows you the person of Jesus Christ, it then shows you your reflection and where you're not like him and where you are like him. It shows the zits, the blemishes, the wrinkles, all that stuff that's on your spiritual face. And James said, here's what you don't do. Don't read it and don't look in it and don't see yourself in the mirror and then put it down and walk away and forget what you saw. That's why some people won't read this book, because they don't want to see themselves in the mirror. David said, I want you to point out anything in me that offends you, and then second, deal with what he shows you. If you want revival in your own heart, you got to deal with what he shows you. You can't just say, well, yeah, I saw that in the mirror, and I'm about to tear this pulpit up. You know, I broke a pulpit one time. I hit it so hard that I broke it. Seriously, it was a Dove plexiglass pulpit. And I got so excited, I hit it and broke the Dove's tail. And there was this gasp from the audience because they felt like the tail had to have been sacred. Oh, Kathy says, don't leave it because we're on TV. There. Now, watch this. Don't look at this and say, oh, yeah, I see that blemish and I see that wrinkle and I see that. And then put it down and forget what you saw. But it said, do something about it. If you want revival, whatever he shows you in your own life, allow him and you together to fix it.
Thanks for tuning in today to Hardwired with Pastor Jeff Wickwire. With the busy schedule everyone has these days, it means the world to us that you would take this time to listen. Let us know how it has touched your heart by calling us at 877-884-3111. You can also connect with us at our website, hardwired.org. It's no secret that our country has had some extreme challenges over the last year or two. People have been going through depression, isolation, emotional pains, disillusionment, and more, and are looking for something to grab a hold of for security. Well, the answer is not in something, it's someone, Jesus Christ. And that's what this program is all about. So here's how you can help us get this message out. Being a listener-supported program means we rely on the financial partnership of our listeners, which means you. And we believe that these messages with Pastor Jeff are making a difference in your life. So this is how you can make a difference to ours. You can contribute by giving us a call at 877-884-3111 or at our website, hardwired.org. 877-884-3111 or go to hardwired.org. Thank you for your very generous gifts. God bless, and thanks for listening to Hardwired.